Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on episode 33, season 3 of the Standoff with Brad and Richie here on New Zealand Sport Radio. We're here live every Wednesday on Facebook throughout the season. Even Richie, well, no NRL matches this week, but we did have a handful of World Cup warm-ups to pass the time before the big tournament starts up. Did you catch any of the games, and how was your weekend?
What do you mean? I thought we'd have a quick show with no reviews and no games, and take like half an hour, I'll be done. And you guys have gone and found a bunch of other games to talk about and stuff. Yep. This is not fair. It's not how it's supposed to work. I'm unhappy. I'm crying.
Yeah, I was in your camp, Paul. I thought we were going to gloss over the games. I thought tonight tonight's about the awards, really, isn't it? The prestigious awards we're going to hand out. Move over Dally M. So this is what the players really want to win is these ones we're handing out tonight.
Exactly.
I'm glad to look. Richie's made an effort, right? He's got his jersey on. He's looking good. Brad, where's your tux? Where's your jersey?
I brushed my hair, so that's about as far as you can get. So while we're here live on Wednesday evenings, 8 p.m., you can also catch our show for our podcast at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. As always, we're going to cover everything you need to know in the week that is rugby league, including we're going to have our top stories of the week. And then, as Richard mentioned earlier, we're going to give our awards out. But first, we're going to have to rip the Band-Aid off and go over our predictions that we made at the start of the year and how right or wrong we were. We'll then stop and answer some questions from you guys as well as questions we've got for each other. Before then going into our awards, announcing all of them there. And then we'll end the night with a quick preview of the World Cup since it starts this weekend. So any comments and questions throughout the show, just flip them into the chat. And we may as well just jump straight into it, Richie, since Paul wants us to be nice and quick tonight.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, news. I guess the big news is Cameron Munster. We talked about it, I feel, every week. For like the last couple of months about where he'll go. You know, everyone said he was a Dolphin. He's now extended his stay with Melbourne until the end of 2027. He's turned down a $1.4 million a year deal the Dolphins had put on the table, which would have made him the highest paid player in the league if he had taken it up. And Wayne Bennett is not happy. He said that Munster should have been a man and told him he was not going to sign. Munster did say later on that he will give him a call and that he makes no excuses for not doing so sooner. But I've got a bit more on Dolphins and Wayne in a bit, but we may as well jump on with you first. What's your take on Munster turning down the big dollars to stay with Melbourne for probably the same amount of money just in a brown paper bag?
Good call, Brad, saying what we all think. No, I'm a fan of it, eh? I'm happy he's staying true to Melbourne. You know, in a day and age of contracts don't mean a lot and not a lot of loyalty. The Storm uniform just looks good on Munster. It suits him, I think. You know, it's it's going to be good to see him stay. And my heart bleeds for the Dolphins. They're going to have to move on to another target.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was kind of the assumption that once Bellamy kind of left the Storm as head coach, that's when you'd see guys like Munster and that leave. But the fact that he signed till the end of 2027, it's a bit more interesting. But then it's the NRL, you know, how long's a contract doesn't really matter, does it? But yeah, interesting times for the Dolphins, which we'll segue into the next part. Wayne Bennett
do the Dolphins really have all this money? Do you think they'll be able to pay up for the salary cap, or are they trying to do things on the cheap?
No, well, they're offering big money to players that probably don't deserve that much money. So I'm sure they've got it there. And they had to go through all the financial protocols to prove that they are a viable option to be the new team. So I'm sure they've got it there. It's just it's a bit of a gamble, I guess you could say, for players wanting to go to a new startup. It could do really well, like Melbourne, when Melbourne first hit the ground running, or you know, they could be in for a couple of years of strife. So it all depends on, I guess, the challenge and if the players are willing to take up that challenge. And we're seeing more often than not, they're not. So, yeah, but Wayne Bennett, he continued with that, Richie. After having a go at Munster, he also decided to turn his aim at the NRL. And he said that they fail to support new teams. His quote was, "What the game has never done is supported a new team coming in terms of recruitment or whatever." Very, very prolific with his words there. What's your take on that? I kind of agree a bit. I feel that for the Dolphins, more in part, they have kind of basically had a year to get ready, where most of the other clubs have a couple of years to kind of get everything sorted, get a roster underway. They've kind of been told, you know, at the start of the year, next season, you're up and running. Get players. Technically, you can't talk to anyone until November. So good luck. But it's kind of, I feel like the NRL have kind of gone the wrong way about it. But it is what it is, unfortunately. And they've got some players. They're just going to have to work a bit harder, I guess, to get more. But that's also why they stole Peter O'Sullivan from the Warriors, because they wanted the best recruiter in the market. And he's done great so far. You know, he hasn't got any of these big names across the line.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think he's on the money or?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, I think a new franchise coming in, you're going to want to hit the ground running. Will not be a complete flop where they're wooden spooning their first seasons coming into the comp. I mean, you want them at least achieving some wins and establishing a, you know, their fan base. It'll be hard to support a team, you know, hard to build a fan base if they're losing right off the bat. So to set them up for a sustainable future, I guess you want them, you know, hitting some targets and winning some games off the bat and pushing to be competitive and hopefully making finals.
Yeah. I just think they needed more time to get themselves underway. I don't think you can ask the NRL to, like,
handouts. Help them. Yeah.
Yeah, handouts, because if you give a handout to one team, you got to give it to all of the teams. Especially if they're in their first year. I don't know. It's a tough situation, but they just got to make themselves look like a desirable place for a player to go. It's as simple as that. I know we as Warriors fans know that it's not always the ideal situation trying to lure people to New Zealand. You'd think being able to go to the mighty, mighty beautiful Redcliffe would be alluring, but maybe it was the jersey that they released last week's just scaring everybody off. I'm not sure, but we'll continue with the Dolphins. Last one, I promise. Now that Munster's off the table, it's believed that they're trying to sign both Mitch Moses and Dylan Brown off the Eels. What's your take on that? Do you think they'll get one or both of them or none of them?
It's a good target, those two. and we know they work well together in tandem. I think they're on contract. They're still on contract until 2024, I believe, aren't they, Brad? I think they're still on contract with the Eels next year, but yeah, they need to shift their sights somewhere. I mean, I think if you look at their spine currently, the halves are looking like Milford, O'Sullivan, and I think they've got the young fella, Katoa, as well, but you know, he's probably not quite NRL ready yet. So, yeah, they've got to be setting their sights somewhere. I was going to ask you this question, actually, before changing my mind late. But, yeah, what do you think? Who do you think they should go after?
Well, I think they need a half. So either Mitch or Dylan would be ideal, I guess, if you can get one or both. Getting both would be a major win. But, yeah, they need a half. I don't know if you could get them though. It's tough. I thought Munster was going to be the best option they could get, especially with all the talk he'd said about wanting to go back to Queensland and whatnot. So
yeah,
I'm kind of a bit lost on who they can really get. And I'm not sure. It's not a great answer to your question, but it is what it is right now.
It's tough, mate. The more targets they miss out on, the landscape becomes more and more bare for them.
Yeah, definitely. Next bit of news for re-signings. Ben Hunt has agreed to sign with the Dolphins again. He signed a new two-year deal. What's your take on that? It sounded like they were lowballing him, but I guess they changed their mind after he rejected their last offer.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a win for the Dragons. As we saw, and probably much to Brad's pleasure, that they weren't much chop this year, the Dragons. They had moments this year, but ultimately, I believe they finished 10th. You take Ben Hunt out of that side, that's getting closer to what Brad predicted they would finish, I think. Ben Hunt, they'd be contending bottom four for sure.
Definitely. And speaking of the Dragons, only three of their top 30 players showed up at the end of year awards night in a move that Ben Hunt has labelled as disrespectful. Hunt, Zach Lomax and Michael Molo were the players that attended. Ben Hunt said when he comes back from World Cup duty, he's going to talk to the guys that were still in Sydney that didn't show up to see what's going on. But it definitely kind of painted it as not a very nice place to be right now. Which might make them my predicted wooden spooners again next year. I'm not sure. what's your take on that? Apparently going to these end of year awards is part of the contract. So I'm not sure what's going to happen there, the legality of the situation, but I suppose it's not a good look when all your team doesn't want to show up to the end of year awards. I know the season wasn't that great, but you still got to kind of show up and like support the guys that win the interior awards and whatnot.
Not a fan of that from the Dragons. 30 players, only three turn up. How many of their squad made the top 100 highest paid players list in the NRL too? I think quite a lot of them, highest percentage of any NRL club, I believe. So they're paying their players a lot of money, and yeah, maybe like Paul says in the comments there, find them. It's not a good look.
Yeah, so interesting. I'm sure we'll get some more development of that at some point.
Find them, and everyone who bought tickets for the end of the year do get repaid. Be perfect.
Yeah.
It's a win-win. I'll have a little bit of a breakup before we get into the Manly side of the new section. But Liggy Sal, former Warrior, he's joined the Samoan World Cup squad after Luciano Leilua has been stood down by the NRL for off-the-field dramas. But good win for Liggy Sal. He's been doing reasonably well in the UK in the Super League. So you as the token Samoan of the group here, what's your take on Liggy making the side?
As he should do well in the Super League, I suppose. He's just coming in to replace Luciano Leilua, who I was naming in my my squad and top 17 lineup prior to him being chopped and stood down by the NRL. So I think he sells a handy player. We know what he can do. So he might not be in the same mold as Luciano Leilua and how destructive he can be out on the edge, but he can play a role for sure.
Definitely. And now Manly time. There's been a lot this week around Manly and Des Hasler. So Des Hasler's future as Manly coach looks likely to be over. Nothing 100% confirmed yet, but there are reports that he's considering filing a lawsuit against the club, basically saying that he believes the club compromised his ability to fulfill his contractual obligations by introducing the Pride jersey without consulting himself or the players. And he had a clause in his contract that if the Manly made the top eight, he got an automatic extension on his contract. And he's basically saying this derailed their season and his chance for that. And rumours continue to swirl that if Manly do let him go, they are looking at bringing in Anthony Seabolt to take his place. So a lot of info to throw at you there, Richie. But what's your take first on Des and his future, the lawsuit, and then Anthony Seabolt potentially coming in?
Yeah, and to add a layer onto that too, Des was hung out to dry with Cherry Evans having to front the press when the rainbow jerseys came out. So yeah, I kind of see his point. The club, the team went south immediately after that whole fiasco. They didn't win a game. Did they win a game? I don't think they did. Did they? Did they lose all their games post the rainbow? If they won a game, it would have been one at most. So
yeah, they might at the best one or two. Yeah, I'm not 100%.
I can see Dez's point there. He's a coach that took them to the top four last year and on the brink of making a grand final. So yeah, I don't know about Anthony Seabolt. I don't know if he'll be a good fit there. He wasn't a good fit at Brisbane, so we've seen him coach well before prior to going to Brisbane, but yeah, I'm not sure. Again, it seems like a club that might be in a bit of turmoil at the moment.
Yeah, there we go.
All seven games they lost, yeah.
I had just done that as well. I was just about to say, and then I got beat into the punch here. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. I don't know. And Anthony Seabolt.
Will he win them a premiership? They said he would in Brisbane.
Didn't Seabolt go to Union?
No. No, you're thinking of, what's his name? Seabolt, he did have some, I think he jumped in an assistant role at some point. I can't remember who with.
Okay. I thought we did a show about someone like, I thought that was the name. No. Okay.
It was him, but I don't think it was very long. I think it might have been with the Wallabies or it might have been with the Waratahs or something like that. Plead my ignorance. I struggle to follow the New Zealand rugby union teams, let alone the Aussie ones. There you go. He was the defence coach for England. So that was the one we spoke about, Paul.
Yeah, he didn't last very long, did he?
No. Anyway. I suppose before we go into the World Cup warm-ups, we'll talk about Lebanon. There's an interesting situation potentially happening because obviously it's Checker, isn't it? Michael Checker is their coach.
No, in the league.
Lebanon, yeah.
Checker's Michael Checker.
He is currently also coaching Argentina. And there is potentially, depending on how far Lebanon go, there is a chance that he's going to end up coaching both Lebanon and Argentina in the same week. And he said he will do it. So that could be an interesting story in a couple of weeks on the show, Richie, when that happens. So we'll keep our ears to the ground on that. Simon, Michael Checker has two coaching jobs right now. But yeah, before we
at least the World Cup's in England, right? And
same area.
And with Argentina, it's a northern tour, so he'll be touring Europe at times. So yeah, both in the same place at the same time. Could be coaching them both on the same pitch. Or two pitches next to each other, do a joint coaching session.
Exactly. So yeah, before we move into the predictions, we'll just go a quick rundown of the World Cup warm-up. So we had quite a few teams go out there and have a little bit of a warm-up. Australia, naturally, automatically arrogant, decided they didn't need one. We had England defeated Fiji 50-0. Cumbria defeated Jamaica 28-12. So that's a great start for Jamaica, unfortunately. Tonga defeated France 48-12. Lebanon defeated Wales 38-22. The Kiwis defeated Leeds 74-0. Greece had a 34-all draw with Bradford, which is a worrying sign for Greece as well. And then the England Knights defeated Scotland 28-14. So, the Kiwis Leeds games, that's really the only game I watched. I watched highlights of the Tongan game, but I liked what I saw from the Kiwis game. There was quite a few players in both Leeds and the Kiwis that, if they're in Leeds, they didn't actually play for Leeds. They were brought in for this game. And with the Kiwis, we had Thomas Lulawai, Willie was in there, and Dean Fare, that aren't in the World Cup squad, but they were brought in for this game as a farewell to Thomas Lulawai. You obviously don't take much into the scoreline due to the situation and the opposition. Simon said, to be fair, Greece in rugby league, it's only recently been made legal. Yeah, I shouldn't be too harsh on them. I thought it was a great game from the Kiwis. I liked what I saw from Chance. He was running off shoulders, which is something that the Warriors have missed in their fullbacks for a little bit of time. But I thought it was a good hit out and made me more excited for the World Cup starting this week.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the Kiwis look good. It's just, obviously, you can't read a lot into it. A massive score. Leeds didn't really put up much of a fight, and Kiwis almost scoring at will at times. So, at the same time, it's nice to see some nice tries being scored and some combinations being built. So, hopefully bodes well.
Definitely. And, we get to watch some... I'd like to say more competitive games coming up, but I don't think so for the Kiwis in regards to their pool. But there will be some good games coming up this week, which we get to talk about next week. So, and Mark said, Willie Issa was the one I couldn't think the last name of. Thanks, Mark Roberts. Simon also mentioned that Greece had to play their qualifying match at 12 at midnight to avoid the police, since it was illegal to play rugby league in Greece. Crazy story, but it's a hell of a story that they made it to the World Cup, though, with all that going on in the background. But that's all we got for the news now. We may as well jump into the predictions if Paul can bring the slides up. Look at my handiwork there. So I've put ticks and crosses over the images on if we were right or if we were wrong. First one up, we had the leading try scorer. I picked Tommy Turbo, which is why we got the big X there. And Richie picked Alex Johnson, who ended up being the leading try scorer. So congrats, Richie, on that one.
Thanks, mate. I think copy and paste next year.
it's not a bad bet there. Yeah. Next up, we had the leading point scorer. We both got this one wrong. We wait for Paul, you ready? There we go. I picked Ruben Garrick, going on my Manly theme, and you picked Nathan Cleary. And the winner ended up being Valentine Holmes. So
you put too much stock in Manly, eh?
I put far too much stock in Manly, as we'll see in my predictions going forward. None of us got that one right. Next one was minor premiers. I picked Manly and got the big X. They didn't even make the eight. And Richie, you got it right. You picked Penrith with probably the easiest prediction of the series. Yeah. So congrats to you again. Mark Roberts said I was never going to be right because I couldn't spell his last name. It's a hard name.
Who can, really?
Yeah. next up, we had signing of the year, which is another tick for Richie. This one is a bit more debatable because there's never an official announced winner of who the signing of the year is. So this is us.
There's but no debate, fact, man. He's Deli M. There's no debate.
Let me finish, please. The fact that the guy that you picked as signing of the year went on to win the Deli M is a clear, you know, tick in your direction. He definitely had to be signing of the year. And I picked Aaron Penny. That's why there's a big X. Not only did he not feature in any Deli M's, he also got released from his club. So
he might be next year.
He might be next year. Now, I forgot to mention, it's official. He has gone to the Storm now. And Jack Murchie, who was a Warrior, is signed with the Eels. Sorry, I'll throw those in there while we're here. But yeah, congrats again. Another tick for you, Richie. And if anyone's watching and paying attention at home, I'm yet to get a tick. Next up, we had Wooden Spoon. We both got this wrong. I picked the Dragons. Personally, I think I should have had this. I thought I had all the money in the world. And you had the Knights. And obviously, the Tigers ended up Wooden Spoon there. So we both got that wrong. Me yet to get a tick. Next up, we had the grand final matchup. We both got this wrong. I had the Sea Eagles versus Panthers, which obviously didn't happen. And you had the Roosters versus Panthers. Yep. So we both got half of it right, picking the Panthers to make it. But it was obviously the Panthers Eels. So
we got the easy half right.
We got the easy half right. And then next, we had the Deli M medalist. I'm not picking any Manly guys in predictions next year, Richie. But I picked Tom Trbojevic. And have you got the slide there, Paul? There we go. And Richie picked Nathan Cleary. Obviously, it was Nicho Hynes. So I think you were still going to be a lot closer than I was, for sure, with Tommy Turbo going out injured and Manly falling apart. And then this one, we were close. The next one, Richie, first coach to be fired.
We were close.
We were close by a couple of weeks. But we both had Madge Maguire, but it was Trent Barrett from the Bulldogs. And then a couple of weeks later, Madge was gone. So if the Bulldogs had just won a game or two more earlier on, we might have had this one. And then the last one for our predictions, we predicted our top eight. This is the first time I get some ticks, but it doesn't count really. So Richie was the only one who actually predicted a team.
Even if you don't know what you're talking about, you're still 50-50 on this one, right? If you got half the teams in the competition. So,
within reason.
You can see at least four ticks on this one, just probably by guessing.
Yeah. So
that's the dartboard.
Richie got a gold medal here on the top because he predicted one of the teams in the right position, which was the Panthers at the top. But we both got the same teams in our top eight that didn't make it. We both picked Manly and the Warriors, and they both didn't make it. So we didn't have the – I didn't have the Sharks, and I didn't have the Cowboys. And you didn't have the Sharks.
I didn't have one of the grand finalists in my top eight.
Yeah, you didn't have the Sharks and you didn't have the Eels. I mean, you didn't have the Cowboys or Eels. I didn't have Sharks, Sharks or Raiders in mine. So, yeah, it shows how much we know, which is always
very
great.
Very little.
So, yeah, I'm going to be a bit more serious. I'm going to do some serious research for my predictions next year because I want to get a tick. I want to get at least one right. So, yeah, that was our predictions. Very disappointing on my behalf, but well done to you, Richie, for nailing a couple of them.
Thanks, mate.
So, yeah, before we move into the standoff awards, were there any questions from anyone, Paul?
There was one question, but it wasn't true. So apart from that, we're good. So we have one question asking, since RTS isn't going on the tour, what's going to happen with him? But he is going on the All Blacks tour. So, so apart from that,
That was Hammer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Honestly, Hammer. I just don't know. Even I knew that he was on the roster, and I couldn't even tell you who the captain is right now.
Sam Kane.
Is it? Oh, my boy Sam Kane from the Chiefs. There we go.
That's good. exactly.
It's been a while, okay? all right, so I'll go first because my one, I think your one's going to go a bit long. So I was going to put this in the news, but I thought I'd save it for the question. But Peter Vlandis has mentioned that he's potentially looking into developing a rookie draft for the NRL. Would you like to see the draft introduced, or do you think it wouldn't work?
No, I don't think it would work, Brad. And we've had discussions on this previously as well. It's just the way the league is structured and the layers underneath the NRL, the feeder teams, are all sort of development to the top tier teams. And you know, the way clubs develop players for top grade, it's just it's not conducive to a draft system, I believe.
And
a little bit of spoilers for my question to you, along with the draft and the numbers on the players' backs now, it's like we're trying to turn into basketball.
Yeah. So, I've mentioned on here and I've mentioned it on other shows that I've been on. The way the draft works really well in sports and in competitions that the lower grades aren't looked after.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
By the clubs. So if the NRL stepped in and said everything below first grade is now ours and we're going to manage it, then that's when a draft could come into play. But when you're spending money and developing a player and then getting told that someone else is grabbing them, it's just not going to work, because then, yeah. And I at the Warriors members forum, Tohu Harris was asked this question. He basically said it's never going to happen. Because the Rugby League Players Association won't agree to it, because they don't want to be told that, you know, you've been told you're going to go play for this team. You don't have a say. You're going to play. And I know the AFL does it, but I saw some screenshots on social media. The AFL competition and the teams are complaining about it now, because you're basically they're picking a rookie, and then that rookie is like basically demanding a release or refusing to play because he doesn't want to play for that team, wants to play for someone else. So it's, you know, it has good merits and it has bad. At the moment I think Mark Roberts has said the rookie draft will only work if they're going to create the 18th team from it. I just don't see it until the NRL decides they're going to spend all the money developing the youth for the game. It's not going to work. And then if they do that, you're not going to see developments like Penrith have done. You know, Penrith have set themselves up for success for, you know, a decade with what they've done there. And I don't think the NRL will be able to do that for everyone. I don't think it's ever going to happen. But Peter Vlandis has got to do something with the time he's got on his hands, I guess. But yeah, your question to me.
So my question to you was, I saw the Australian team named for the World Cup opener. We'd heard rumblings about this prior to the team being named. But once I saw the team written down on paper, it really struck me. Seeing wingers with number 23 on the back and backs with forward numbers on their back. The numbers, they're all a mess. I think each player is going to be assigned a jersey. What's your take on that, Brad? Are you of the traditionalist mindset where it's baffling you like it is me, or You don't really care either way.
I don't really care either way. It does just look weird. I don't understand the reasoning behind it. I know they've said why it's happened, but I don't see the point. It makes it fun for me. When I do my little graphics, I'm not doing it for Australia, thankfully. I'm just doing it for the Kiwis. But we've only seen Australia do it so far. I want to see what happens when the Kiwis line up, because from my understanding, it seems to be that it's meant to be for all clubs or all nations in the World Cup doing it. I'm not sure how it works, but yeah, it's weird. It's going to be weird watching it on TV when you see like number 24 and whatnot. And I did see a good comment from a fan on Facebook saying, we want to try to get more eyes on the game, and you throw multiple numbers in there and make it a bit more confusing for people that don't understand. It's just going to make it look harder to figure out. But it's just a number on the back of the jersey in the end of the day anyway, isn't it? I don't know.
I don't like it.
You don't like it? See?
So I think for your Australia, Kiwis, Tonga, where you actually just look at the player, recognize who they are. That guy is a halfback, or that guy is a winger, or that guy is a forward. I think you're going to be fine. It's when you get to your, when you're watching kind of like KSU 11 or whatever, and you go, which guy do I expect to take the kick? Because I'm looking for that number, and or on fifth tackle, is the guy in the right place and all that kind of stuff. I think that kind of might be where you get some, becomes a bit more confusing. Whereas when you've got players who you recognise, I think you'll probably find it easier not to worry so much about the numbers.
Yeah, and Jamie's made a good point, which is kind of how I see it with the World Cup. So it's common to name a 1 to 17 and then reserves, and they keep those numbers for the tournament. Mm. But the Aussies are doing it by their debut numbers, which is what makes it silly. I would have been perfectly fine if they named their 1 to 17 how it was, and then, you know, next week, you know, your fullback's on the wing, but he keeps his one, and the new guy at the fullback keeps his, like, number in that case. But when you got, like, 24, 52, 105, you know, all this rubbish, it's just
weird.
It's weird, yeah. So I'm with that, the 1 to 17, and they keep their number for the tournament, keep their jersey. But it is what it is, I guess. It's, you know, do we really care about it? The Kangaroos aren't going far in this World Cup anyway, so we don't have to worry about the weird numbers.
Yeah, as long as they lose, I don't care.
that was it for the questions there. I'm sure there'll be some that come through, especially when people abuse us for our award winners. We may as well start. So if you've got the slides there, our first one was biggest surprise of the year. This is one we didn't agree on. So mine was the Dolphins failing to land a big fish, and yours was a Cowboys top four finish. So mine, we've talked about it. We just spent half of our news section talking about the Dolphins. So it's just obviously, you know, I expected one or two big names for their first year, and, you know, they haven't really got it. They got some old aging forwards, which I guess you could say were big names, but there wasn't like that marquee signing that you kind of expect. But your Cowboys, why'd you pick them?
I don't think it's my tip is rocket science there. I think most people had them not in the eight.
Yeah.
And in some cases, even fighting for the spoon. So to produce what they produced this year was, a massive surprise, but, you know, great for the Cowboys. Toddy Payton's really set them up well there.
Yeah, definitely. And next award we both agreed on, and I'm sure most people will.
What about Jesse Bromwich, who's been landed by the Dolphins?
He's
one of those old fish that you just, out of respect, throw back in the water after you catch him. I'm going, you've had a nice life. I'm not going to ruin you now. He is a good signing, but I wouldn't class him as a marquee. It is what it is. Jamie's also said the Dolphins saying that their roster will be ready by 2024, not 2023. Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, I still expected one, though, Jamie. I expected one big name to kind of come through. And, yeah, Jacko's also said the pack's okay. Their backs, yeah, it's their backs that I'm more worried about than their forward pack. Their forward pack's very capable. Yeah, and Valencia and Katoa are big signings, but young and unproven. Yeah, I'm not 100% shitting on them. But, yeah, I just wanted just more.
Very young. Very young.
Yeah. Next one, we had Rookie of the Year. So we both agreed on this one, and the NRL did as well because he won the Rookie of the Year. But it's Jeremiah Nanai. I think it was hard to think of anyone else. He went above and beyond.
I think he was head and shoulders above. There were some good rookie years this year, but I think he was head and shoulders at the top. Yeah.
Definitely. And next award we had was the biggest blunder. We differed on this one again. I had the Talon May final suspension, and you had the match officials Tigers versus Cowboys. I could agree with your one as well, but I wanted to be a bit different. Yeah. And remember that Talon May is going to have his suspension whenever the Panthers and Peter Vlandis decide, probably in 2026, maybe. Your one, you know, the Tigers get screwed by the Cowboys.
I agree with you, mate. I think there's been a few blunders this year, but those two are pretty good picks. I agree with yours as well.
I think we have to split this up next year and have the biggest officials blunder and the biggest players blunder.
Yeah, maybe so.
Because I mean, these are all about the officials, got no players ones. I mean, one of the players blunders is going to the toilets and sitting and getting on your mobile phone when you know you're not had mobile phones during a game.
Yeah, that's a good one. We'll just watch a Warriors game. You'll stumble across one.
Yeah, we could call that the Kevin Proctor Award next year, I guess. Yeah. Next award. This guy seems to win it every year, but first facial hair, I went with Regal Campbell Gillard, and you joined me this year on this one.
Oh, look at that slug. That's a beautiful slug.
We need some serious facial hair game from the NRL to compete with RCG, because he's won it every year since we've started it. It's kind of the cliche
he could star in a rehash of Miami Vice with that. That's special.
Yeah. Definitely. And then the next one was worst haircut, a new winner here. We both agreed on Musa Sully. There was a lot, myself included, that could have won this award. Jamie mentioned Talakai's beard, not a smoky. He was in my talks, Jamie. I was thinking about him. You can't go past the slug. But yeah, Musa Sully, look at it.
Him or To'o had another pretty poor one. That's a shocker.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Head to the barber.
These guys, I have an excuse. I can't afford the barber most of the time, but these guys have money to go and get a nice haircut. The Tigers are going to have a hairdresser in their stadium now, so they should all have nice haircuts. So, congrats to them. Next was signing of the year. No surprises, we both agreed on this one. You had him as your prediction, so I would have been very disappointed to see you not pick him here. Yeah. But it went to Nico Hines, obviously. He got the Dally M, had a lot better year than I expected from him in his first year at the Sharks, and handed the role of being the halfback. I expected him to do well, but not as well as he did. Congrats to him, and I'm sure he's going to be even better next year.
I think if we had a best hair award too, he probably could almost pick that up.
Yeah, definitely. Next award is our hit of the year. We both agreed on this one. It was Mitch Moses on Kenny Bromwich. I think this was the one that won tackle of the year at the Dally M's too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was. I think I just like a David versus Goliath story. So that's a reminded me of Sean Johnson sitting down Sam Burgess a few years ago. Not quite how higher on Petro Sivanisiva, not quite that level, but good nonetheless.
I was tempted to select Tane Milne on Spencer Linu, but since that was deemed not a legitimate tackle, I had to take it off the table.
It was a little bit too illegal.
Yeah. And then our next award was Try of the Year, and we've separated on this. I cheated. I've gone with the Dally M winning Try of the Year with Scott Drinkwater. I didn't put Scott in the picture, though, because I think it was all on Murray Taulagi with his freak flick pass from the sideline.
Yeah.
And you've picked Mitch Moses versus the Dragons.
Yeah, they scored a bunch of good tries that game, but that the one I picked was the one with the mid-air flick behind the back out to Moses, who scored in the corner. If you guys remember that, that was I thought that was a pretty cool try.
That was still when Moses was being a flat track bully, correct?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, before he turned me. Next award we have is Personality of the Year. We've differed on this one as well. You have gone with Latrell Mitchell, and I have gone with Sticky Ricky. So Ricky was on in our new segments quite a lot this year, so I went with him. It was always good for a laugh about, you know, what has he said now. We had the Dirty Dogs and all that stuff, so I put him in here. But you've gone with Latrell.
Yeah, he divides people, doesn't he? He's a lot of people, you either love him or you hate him. The crowds will turn up to the game, sometimes boo him, and he'll play up to the crowd when he kicks a conversion. He's given himself his own nickname, Trail Mitt, so he's different. I quite like that. I mean, it's not like he's my favourite player or anything, but it's just...
All the cool people, Paul. All the cool people decide their own nickname. So I didn't say Ricky was an innocent man who did nothing. Yeah, I'm not criticizing him. That's why I've selected him as my personality of the year. I thought he was great value. And yes. I'm still confused with that dog situation. I don't understand the insult. But I'm putting that with my New Zealand ignorance. Next up, though, we had our most improved team, another one we agreed on. We both went with the Cowboys. I think, yeah, goes without saying, you know, many people picked them as the wooden spoon and they ended up in the top four. Well done to them. And they're definitely a team you have to put into consideration for playoffs when we do our prediction next year.
Yeah.
And we'll keep that Cowboys thing going with the next one, which was our most improved player. Both Cowboys, but different players. I went with Ruben Cotta because it's a prop, of course I am. And you went with Tommy Dearden because you like the pretty boy backs. With Ruben Cotta, you know, he went from he might make the 17 to making Origin and being quite an integral piece of that forward pack, along with a lot of other big names. But I thought he was a standout this year, and it's hard to argue with your pick with Tom Dearden, but I'll leave that with you.
Yeah, I mean, he was someone that was at the Broncos, found himself not very high up in the pecking order in the halves at the Broncos, so wound up going to the Cowboys, and even last year at the Cowboys, once he got there, struggled to find his feet a wee bit, but this year I don't know what's happened, whether it's Todd Payton's got something through to him, but he's just seemed to found a spark. Maybe it's his halves partner arriving, Chad Townsend, bringing out the best of him as well. But yeah, to go from where he came from and to realize some of his talent to the point where he debuted in Origin as well, in Origin 3, and I thought he played the house down in Origin 3 as well. So
he did, yeah.
Massive improvement from Tommy Dearden this year.
100%. Next one, we had to put them in here somewhere, but it was the biggest room for improvement, and we're going with the Warriors. There's quite a few teams, I guess, we could have put in this category, but as Warriors fans, it probably hurts us a bit more. I've put them, for my reasonings, you know, second to last is embarrassing as a Warriors fan, and hopefully there's nowhere else to go but up. Hopefully they don't find that next level down, but there's plenty they can do to improve. So that's why I've picked them as my biggest room. You know, attack, defense, coaching, you name it, they need to improve it.
Yeah, agree with all your points, and I think they've made some changes in terms of recruitment and bringing in a lot of personnel, which will really help. So fingers crossed that improvement comes next season, because yeah, obviously you and I picked them for better things this year, maybe too optimistically, but yeah.
Next up, we had the story of the year. That went to come on, Paul. There's no need to attack us. Don't kick us while we're down. Our story of the year was the Manly Rainbow jersey. We talked about it at length in the news segment as well. But obviously, this had everyone talking. Whether you were for, or against, or in the middle, everyone was talking about it. So that's why I picked it. What about you?
I mean, yeah, same. It seemed to play out so publicly and just had such an effect on that whole club's season. And like you say, divided pretty much the whole rugby league community. Massive story. Didn't have great ramifications for the Manly club, unfortunately for them. But yeah, hopefully something we don't see the like of again anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a story that's going to continue, especially if this lawsuit actually does happen. But next up, we had our team of the year. We agreed again. Panthers, I didn't pick them last year. You picked the Panthers last year in the awards, but I went with the Storm because they were the minor premiers. But this year, apart from, those losses during the season, they were the most dominant team all year from start to finish. It was always their competition to lose, and they didn't lose. So it would have been too hard for me to argue any other team. I had to pick them for that reason. And you love the Panthers, so it's easy why you picked them. Sorry.
I really don't. But it's hard to argue. It's hard to argue with the results they get and the manner in which they get them. And like we've said last week, they know. They'll let you know too. Just look at social media.
Definitely. And then the last award of the night is the Player of the Year. We didn't agree on this one. We also didn't pick the Dally M. So I went with Ben Hunt because, I love my Dragons. And you went with Dylan Edwards. I'll explain mine. It probably needs a bit more than yours. Yours is a bit more straightforward. Ben Hunt, I don't like the Dragons. We all know that. I've said it every week. But the Dragons only looked like an NRL team when Ben Hunt was there. What he did with that team, I thought was amazing, what one player can do. So I wanted to give him a nod somewhere. And I still thought he had done enough to potentially get that Dally in and pip it at the post. But you've gone with Dylan Edwards for probably more obvious reasons. So,
well, he's very handy in Origin too, Ben Hunt.
He is, yes.
Yeah, Dylan Edwards, I just feel like in a team that was that dominant, he was – everyone talks about Cleary and guys like that and Isaiah Yeo for obvious reasons, but I think when Edwards missed a couple games this year – they don't look the same team without him. I think he's the perfect fit for their team. I think he completes their spine really well, and he's a special player that comes up with special plays all the time. So I think he's pretty underrated, and I thought he's worthy of a nod. He obviously didn't pick up Dally M or won't get selected for the Australian squad,
my pick, who made the Kangaroos. But
well, whether it's right or wrong, because I think Dylan Edwards would perform admirably if he was selected for the Kangaroos. But, I think he's worthy of a nod somewhere. I think the season he had was pretty special.
Yeah, definitely. So that was the last award for the night. So thanks for your help there, Paul, with all those images that I threw at you this week. So before we sign off, we'll go into the World Cup, because the World Cup's actually starting this weekend. First game is Sunday morning, England versus Samoa. The Kiwis start their campaign against Lebanon on Monday morning. Although we won't go too deep into it, we're just quickly, I thought, basically say who's in each pool and who we think are going to be the two that move into the quarters. And then with the way the World Cup's scheduled, I think we can keep running our show, or not think, we will. We'll keep running our show on Wednesdays because basically each segment of the pool play will be finished before our show on a Wednesday, so we can keep up to date with all the teams and all the comings and goings. So moving forward, we're going to keep going. This is usually the last show for the year, but every year we'll keep going for the World Cup at least. And should be good, but we'll get the pools. I'll get my pools up. Pool A, we have England, France, Greece, and Samoa. For me personally, I think the two going through will be England and Samoa. What about you?
Samoa first, England second.
I think that's
let me put it in order for you.
I was talking with Paul before we went live, and I said, you know, I think out of all the predicted teams that can win this comp, I think England have the weakest roster. But I think Samoa are going into this World Cup as the dark horse. And I think I basically explained it to Paul. They've got a lot of the Panthers in there, which I think will be very beneficial for them. So, yeah, good to see we both agree on that. I think going forward, our two will all be the same anyway. Pool B, we've got Australia, Fiji, Italy, and Scotland. I've gone with Australia and Fiji. What about you?
Yeah, Australia, Fiji, in that order.
Yeah. Pool C, we've got Ireland, Jamaica, Lebanon, and New Zealand. I've gone with New Zealand and Lebanon.
NZ and Lebanon. Yep.
Yeah. In that order, or do you think Lebanon's going to go to number one?
Definitely that order.
Definitely that order. And then the last pool, we got Pool D, which is the Cook Islands, Papua New Guinea, Wales, and Tonga. I've gone with Tonga and Papua New Guinea. Yeah, in that Tonga, order.
Yes, Tonga and Papua New Guinea in that order.
Yeah. And great then we did it on the Ruin Hammer show, but we may as well do it here. We had predicted finals. I had predicted Kiwis Tonga. What about you?
I'm going to differ my pick this week somewhat from what I did on their show. I'll go Kiwis Samoa.
Kiwis Samoa. You think Samoa will beat Tonga?
Yes.
Yeah. Should be good. It's good to see that we're both not picking Australia.
I felt dirty last week picking them.
And Simon said he's gone with New Zealand and Ireland as he has to support his heritage country.
Nice.
And he's gone with Australia, Italy. Oh, yeah. So if you think Italy will do better than Fiji, there's a good call out. We'll see what happens. And then towards the later stages of the men's tournament, the women's tournament starts up and the wheelchair as well. I don't have all the details here because I wasn't that prepared, but I've got, I think, I haven't shown Richie yet, but I had made a spreadsheet with every game for all three tournaments that I can keep scores and keep it to date. So when we're doing our show, we'll cover who wins and loses those games as well. I haven't bought Spark Sport yet. It's coming.
You've had a couple of pieces there because we're about to go through your predictions for the next few for the games before the next show as well.
Well, do we have to do the predictions too? Do we?
Oh, hell
it's
yeah.
Easy. Oh man.
Well, we'll. Okay, if it's easy, I'll hit you with it straight away then. So in Pool A, we've got England versus Samoa opening game.
Samoa.
And then you've also got France versus Greece.
France.
Okay.
I hope you're writing this down because I haven't written them down.
You also just listen back to it and write it down.
Yeah.
Group B, then you've got Australia, Fiji, and Scotland, Italy. Australia, Fiji first.
Australia.
And then Scotland, Italy.
Scotland.
Yeah. Scotland. My heritage. My other heritage.
You can't see his bottom half, but he's clearly wearing his wearing a kilt tonight. Jamaica versus Ireland.
Ireland,
yeah.
And then New Zealand, Lebanon.
Lebanon all the way.
So So both of you going
Kiwis.
Yeah. And Group D, Tonga, Papua New Guinea.
Tonga.
Two for Tonga. And then Wales versus the Cook Islands.
Cook Islands.
Wow. So you've agreed on every single one in the first round.
As I said, because they're easy.
Well, I'm not. I don't think Wales, Cook Islands, or
Cook Islands have got a good team. You've got to get out of the rugby union thought mind.
You've got. Well, looking at my list, you've gone with the home team, the first name team, in all games except two, which are Jamaica Island and Wales Cook Islands.
So Jamaica Island, I feel, is the hardest one because I don't know how good or bad either team is.
So
there we go. So that's and we'll we'll run through that each week, folks, and see
how moving forward when I'm actually a bit more prepared with the World Cup, we'll do our predictions each week as well. We'll play it. But anything else you want to add before we go, Richie?
Oh no, I'll just give Brad and Paul an award too. I think they deserve an award. Great job this year, fellas.
Yeah, best facial hair and worst haircut, I think, is mine.
Yeah, best producer. And thanks everyone for the chat again. Always a good time.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in tonight and joining us on the Standoff with Brad and Richie for your weekly update on the World Cup. Tune into our show next week at 8 p.m. here on Facebook or at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. Cheers for joining me again, Richie, and cheers for all your work in the background, Paul, with all the slides that I threw at you. And good night, everyone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.